I'm just so happy to be here this morning, church. We are going to have such a great time together. We are carrying on our sermon series called Created for This. And we just believe here at City Light, and I just really declare this over us, that you were meant to be here. You were created by God to hear this message that He put in my heart this morning. I believe that my message is going to encourage you, it's going to challenge you, and you are going to leave this place different because of who God is. Amen? Amen. So let's start the only way we should start. Let's start in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you have called us to be here today. We're not here by accident. We're here because you ordained this long ago, God. And I pray that your Spirit would be with us this morning and would help the words that come from my mouth not to be mine, but to be yours, and to sink deep into our hearts this morning and change us, God. That you would speak, everyone would leave here with a rhema, a real, a living word this morning, ready to go out into Lethbridge, into our community, and to speak about your Son and what He's done for us. In your name, Jesus, amen. 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 So we're in our sermon series, Created for This. We're in our second month of this series. It's been awesome. If you haven't heard any of the messages, if you missed one, don't worry. You can go online. You can hear me preaching. It's awesome. Don't worry about it. But you can hear them all online. You can go on our app or on our website. Come on, church. You know, like, it's so good. You know, sometimes in summer, we get camping, we get this, and it's good. And it's good to take a break. It's good to get away. But it's also important to stay connected to the house, right? That's why we're so glad we have online church. Welcome to all of you who are joining us there. We're just so excited to have you this morning in the house of the Lord. My sermon series this morning, or my sermon title this morning, not series, is Created for This, Unleash Your Worship. Unleash your worship. And I truly believe that worship is a weapon. It's a weapon we can use against the enemy. It's a weapon that we can use to get through things and out of prisons and break chains. Worship is powerful. I also believe that we were created to worship. And so if we're not worshiping, we're not doing what we were created to be. And I truly believe if you take a look at your life, if you're worshiping God, you know, if you're walking around and you just have to worship God, maybe you burst into song and you start whistling a tune, you know, if it's Wednesday and Amazing Grace is still stuck in your head, you're worshiping God, that's a good thing, right? So this morning, I want to emphasize, we're talking about corporate worship. We're talking about us all here together, because that's great and that's beautiful, and it's what the disciples did. It's what they did in the Old Testament. We were called to worship together. We were also called to worship by ourselves, in our cars, in our offices, in our kitchens while we're doing that. We were called to worship all the time, right? And so I'm talking about both of those this morning as we talk about worship. And my prayer as I was leading into this message was that we would all leave here ready to unleash our worship. So are you ready? Yeah. Awesome. Revelation chapter 4 has one of the most beautiful passages in all of Scripture. It talks about the throne room of God, and He's seated on His throne, and He's there. And around Him are 24 elders. This word in Greek, this isn't talking about just someone who's a senior. This isn't talking about someone who's a little bit up there in age. This word is like the ancient of the ancient. Almost no one got to this age. These guys, they're old. They're real, real old. Their bones are creaking, their backs are breaking, you know, they got like, you know, they, oh man, I remember when a penny could buy a chocolate bar, like we're talking old. And there's 24 of these guys, and they're all on a throne, and they have these massive crowns. So at the center is God on His throne, and then there's a circle of 24 thrones around it, and these ancient elders sit upon these thrones. And they're there, and John describes what the throne room looks like. And we're going to pick it up in verse 7. It says, "And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes, in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. How awesome is that? So these creatures, can you imagine this? They've got eyes. They got eyes outward and inward. They're full of eyes. They got all these eyes on them. And they got six wings. And they're moving. So if you think of the circle of the 24 thrones, and then in the middle is God. They're moving in between God's throne and the elders. And they're going around and around. In Ezekiel, it says of these creatures that they're like lightning. They never stop moving. And they go round and round this throne declaring day and night, never ceasing to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. That's incredible. And listen to this, church. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne saying, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things and by your will they existed and were created. So all day long, these creatures, they're moving like lightning. They're declaring how holy is the Lord our God. And then every time they do that, these elders, they get off their thrones, they lay down these huge crowns at the feet of the throne, and they say, you are worthy, God. And then they sit back up, and they sit down. But by that time, the creatures have gone around again. So then they go, and they go, and they sit down, and they declare, like, this is crazy. Can you picture this? This is beautiful. All day, all night, never ceasing. This Greek word, never, you know what it means? Never. Never ceasing. I think it's so cool as these creatures full of eyes, they see everything. They're looking within, they're looking out, they can see earth, they can see everything going on. They can see all the stuff happening, like the interesting stuff going on. They can see the baseball game on TV, they can see the hockey game, they can see what's happening on your Netflix show. And you know what? They don't care. Because they're worshiping God. Isn't that amazing? And you know what I think when I think of this scene? These got this singing, this cacophony of sound. I really, this is just true. I hope they sing better than me. Because, I mean, this is what heaven is going to be like, this consistent singing. And let me tell you, if they sing like me, we're in for a rough time. Come on, church, this worship, this declaration of God and all his goodness, it's so beautiful. And God created these creatures. These creatures are so powerful. When I think of a powerful person, I think of a judge, right? When a judge walks into his courtroom, he is all powerful. Everyone is there by his authority. Everyone who speaks, speaks by his authority. There's no one in the crowd. There's no one on the stand that's not there by his authority. And he shows up and he's got his gown, you know, and he's got his thing. And he's dressed in black and he's all serious. And when he speaks, everyone has to stop and listen. The judge is powerful, right? Is that what you think when you think of power? You know, you think of a boardroom maybe, people in suits making decisions, the movers and shakers of the world. Powerful people. But yet these creatures are so much more powerful than any earthly thing. Listen, church, this is how powerful these creatures are. In Revelation chapter 6, they start the end of days. The four horsemen of the apocalypse are summoned by these creatures one by one. Listen, it says in Revelation chapter 6, now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, come. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. And its rider had a bow and a crown. It was given to him, and he came out to conquering and to conquer. That's how powerful these creatures are. They say, come, and the horsemen literally come. That's how powerful they are. And yet they're not a steer. They don't sit there like statues. Instead, they move like lightning, never ceasing to praise God. What this tells me is that worship is a contact sport. Worship is not like darts, or it's not like, you know, horseshoes. Worship is like football. It is a contact sport. There's movement, and we're supposed to move around, and we're supposed to make noise, and we're supposed to be excited about worshiping our God. Come on! Heaven is going to be a loud place. I will fit in. Some of you will not. It's okay. Don't worry.
I'll hide now.
Isaiah chapter 6, yeah, no doubt. Isaiah chapter 6, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. I mean, I hope these guys can do a harmony and a melody, because there's a lot of singing going on. Church, we were called to unleash our worship. Our worship is not supposed to be tethered. It's not to be supposed to be austere. It's not supposed to be like us, like, you know, like monks in the red, like army Russian choir declaring out, sitting there stoically. I mean, that's cool. But that's not what it's called. We're called to be. Worship is a contact sport. It's about movement. We're supposed to unleash our worship. And I believe that the only way to reach our full potential as Christians, as believers, as disciples, is to unleash our worship. So church, listen. I believe we are called to move. I believe we are called to dance. I believe we are called to sing and praise our God. Now, you may have come in here today and you're like, that's not me. You know, you might be, you know, feel like you want to be a little more still. You know, maybe you don't feel comfortable with that. You're not someone who wants to backflip down the aisles, which if you can backflip down the aisles, you should, because that is awesome. But church, you know, when I think about myself, when I first, you know, became a believer and I was in church, I like barely even sang. Because church, I cannot carry a tune in a 40-gallon drum. Like, it's terrible how bad I am. In band, I was in band with my best buddy. His name is Joel. We were in band together, and he played the saxophone. He was awesome. And I played the trombone. But I didn't actually play because I was so terrible. So the band teacher came to me and said, listen, if you don't play, I will pass you, and I'll give you a C. So I spent all of band not playing. When we went on our band trip to Edmonton, I literally got up on stage with the trombone and just went, I never blew, I never played. I am that terrible, church. I can't sing, I can't do anything. Like, Jess has all the musical talent in our family. And so, you know, when I started coming to church, I knew that I couldn't sing. Like, it's not like I'm unaware of it, you know. And as I came, I just, you know, I didn't want to be loud. I didn't want to move. Some people clapped their hands, and I thought, like, I don't know, will people look at me? Will they judge me? Will they think I'm weird? Will they hear how terrible I am? And they'll, like, you know, kick me out, and I didn't want to do that. And, you know, and then things got worse because there was this really pretty girl in church that I wanted to ask out on a date. But, you know, like, I didn't want her to hear me sing because she was on the worship team. So, you know, like, you know, right? And I stayed there. I was a statue in worship. That's right. Wow. Hey. And church, you know, as I grew more mature and as I learned more about who God was and what he did for me, I just couldn't help but start to sing. And I couldn't help but start to raise my hands, because that's just, I feel like we got to return to God. You know, he's so worthy, he's so glory. How do I keep my voice down? You know, and I get up there and I just sing and I cry out, you know, because I can't help it, because God is so good. He's so good. And if you feel like your worship is restrained or tethered, I'm telling you, unleash it. I'm not saying you have to do backflips. I'm not saying, you know, you got to dance through the aisles, do a conga line. I'm just saying, do not let your worship be restrained. Do not let your worship be restrained. I promise you, listen, if you're a terrible singer, I have set the bottom of the barrel. I'm there. So you're guaranteed not the worst singer in church. Congratulations. And to be worse, I try to make up for it with volume, right? Like, I'm like, oh, I'm terrible, so I better be terrible loud. Church, I love God. I just can't help it. You know, there's so many times I drive to Tabor for work. Many of you know that, so I got a kind of a long carpool. And I'll be driving, I'll be listening to worship music, I'll be worshiping God because he's so good. I'll be singing these songs. And I'll stop at a light, and someone will look at me, and they'll be like, that guy's crazy. And then they turn left, even though they didn't have to, just to avoid me. But that's what I believe we're called to do, church. We are called to unleash our worship this morning. And when we unleash our worship, our potential is realized. You know, David was a worshiper, right? He sang songs and he just declared God's goodness. I think David was a man after God's heart because he just could not help but worship, right? He had to record those songs and sing them out for, you know, he had to, he had no choice. And there came a time when they were bringing the ark into Jerusalem, the city of David, and it was this big celebration. And the Bible says they got the whole of Israel, every man and woman and child, and they got them all together. And as they walked the ark in, every six steps, they sacrificed a bull. And David was dancing and singing and you know, before the Lord. And he was really just making a fool of himself, but he didn't care because God is so good. And he cried out, you know, how good God is. And he danced and he moved and he unleashed his worship. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 20, it says, "When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to him and said, 'How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in the full view of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would.' David said to Michal, 'It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or to anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. By these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor.'" Church, this is what we're called to be. Sometimes we're called to look a little foolish, and that's okay. And sometimes we're called to sing out, even when we're really bad at it, and that's okay. Church, I really want to challenge you. I've been thinking about this a lot lately in my own life. You know, how do we as disciples of Jesus, you know, become more like him? How do we continually try to, you know, to be more like Jesus and to grow in our faith and effectiveness every day? And what I've come up with, I think we need to self-evaluate where we're at and then take another step. This, in my day job, I'm an electrician. And so, you know, when I first started in the trade, I didn't know anything about electrical. I couldn't wire in a light switch. And I was around all these guys who knew so much about electrical, and they did these huge, complicated projects. And I thought, wow, like, I'm never going to get there. And slowly but slowly, step by step, I'm now one of those people. And, you know, apprentices come and look at me and can't believe what I'm doing. But it didn't happen overnight. And I think we can get this way sometimes as Christians, where we just want to get there overnight. You know, we think, okay, I haven't read my Bible for a while, so I'm just going to start reading, you know, like a book every single day. I'm going to read the Bible in a month. This will go great. And we fail, and we feel bad about ourselves, and we, you know, maybe put the Bible down. Church, I believe what we are called to do as disciples is just take a step. So if you're here today, and, you know, you struggle with reading your Bible, hey, that's okay. Take a step. Start trying to read your Bible every day or every other day. You don't have to tackle the whole thing in a month. Just take a step. And then take another step, and take another step. And before you know it, you'll be there. You know, it's the same thing in prayer. Listen, some people are afraid to pray out loud. You're afraid to talk to God. It's okay. Just try it. You know, pray out loud. It's okay. You know, it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be really wordy. You don't have to throw any Greek words out there. Just pray. And slowly, as you take a step and a step, you'll go, you know, we get closer to God. And before you know it, like, you know, you might be up here. Who knows, right? Come on, church, this is true, and I feel this in worship. Listen, if you come in today and you've never clapped your hands, give it a try. See what God happens. See what God will do with you. If you come in today, you never closed your eyes before, hey, try it. If you come in today, you've never raised your hands before, give it a shot. Take a step and see your full potential realized, because I'm telling you, your potential is locked behind your worship. We see that again and again throughout Scripture, that when people worship, their potential is realized. Listen to what David wrote in Psalm 68. This is so beautiful. "Sing to God. Sing in praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him. His name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families, and he leads prisoners out with singing. But the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land." Isn't our God good? How can we not declare his goodness when we serve a God who puts the lonely in families and sets the captives free? Come on! The Israelites, after crossing the Red Sea on dry ground, and they watch Pharaoh's army be destroyed by the waters. And they're there, and they've just crossed, and they're in this new land, and what do? They sing, and they dance, and they worship, and they celebrate. Come on, church, that's what we're called to do. If something's going on in your life, and it's terrible, something's going on, maybe it's not good, you gotta say, hey, that's okay, worship your way through it. If you got something going on, things are going good, everything's going great, that's awesome. Worship God, He's worth it. Come on, no matter what, we should be worshiping through. You know, it's corny, but, you know, this is who I am, so whatever. But, you know, I find, like, for myself, there's just, like, songs that define periods of my life. You know what I mean? Like, there's a song I can hear and I can remember, you know, like, hey, that's exactly what I was going through at that time. And church, you know, like, I feel like that's what we're called to do, these songs that speak to us about God and who He is and what we're going through. And sometimes they're happy, and sometimes they're sad, and sometimes they're praise, and sometimes, you know, like, they go through all these, and that's great, that's life. God wants to go through it with us, and He wants us to worship Him. The Hebrew word delight is one of my favorite words in Scripture. And oftentimes it talks about how God delights in us. Well, this Hebrew word, what it means is for a child to spin a top and dance and sing over it. How beautiful is that? God delights in us like a child who is playing with a toy, spinning it, and dancing and singing over it. That's our God towards us. Come on, church. He's so worth our worship. He is so worth it. Listen, church, I want you to leave this place unleashing your worship. And I believe in order to unleash our worship, we have to be like David. We have to be undignified. Get a little bit more undignified. And one thing I cannot stress enough is that the Bible says, you know, that God hates, you know, people who aren't authentic. Like the Pharisees, right? He hated their actions. What they did, they were so authentic in their unauthentic in their fasting and their worshiping and their giving, right? God just wants us to be authentic. So don't raise your hands because I told you to raise your hands. Don't close your eyes because I said so. But if God is calling you to do that, if He is speaking to you to worship Him, then don't hold anything back in this place at City Light Church. Don't hold anything back in your car, driving to work. Don't hold anything back. Worship God. For all He is worth, we need to be undignified. We need to worship when times get hard. That's when we need to worship the most. Isn't that true? When things are going on in our lives and, you know, we don't know which path to take or where to go, that's when we need to worship the most. Paul and Silas were going around. They were preaching the good news. They were on a missionary journey. And they came to this town. And there was this slave girl, and she had a spirit that could tell the future. And the people who owned this slave girl, they made tons of money off of her because they would go around, they would charge people for her to tell their future. And they were getting rich off this spirit of this girl. And day after day, she would come and she would yell, and she would yell at Paul and Silas, and she would call after them. And this happened day after day. And the Bible says eventually Paul got annoyed and he cast the demon out of the girl. And there was celebration. People saw what happened. They said, wow, that's amazing. But then the owners of this girl who got rich off of her, they got upset. They got angry. And they went to the magistrates and they said, listen, this Paul, this Silas, they're talking about, you know, things against Caesar and the Roman rules, and they're stirring up all sorts of trouble. So they beat Paul and Silas and they threw them in jail. And that night, the Bible says this in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" How beautiful is that? How does this all start? What were Paul and Silas doing? They were praying and singing hymns to God. You can literally worship your way out of jail, church. Do you believe that this morning? I know I do. I believe that we can worship our way through anything when we are looking at God and who He is. Because, you know, when I first became a Christian, I kind of thought, you know, God was like, you know, like, it was like worship was the fuel that sustained God, which is crazy, but that's what I thought. I thought we had to worship, you know, like, as if, you know, He needed it. But the truth is, it's for us. We serve such a great God that not only did He send His Son to die for us, but He provided us a way to be in right standing with Him. And if we are worshiping God, then we know we're drawing near to Him. Isn't that true, church? Church, I believe that if when we unleash our worship, we unleash our potential. So let's do it. Let's do that together. Let's encourage one another. Let's be a place full of worship. You know, you can sing louder than me if you want to try. But if it's a contest, I'll try and win. Don't worry. Come on, let's sing it out. Let's belt it out. Let's not hold anything back. I feel so blessed to have people like the Knotts and my wife and everyone else on the worship team who is so talented to get up here and, you know, lead us in worship. And that's awesome. And that's great. But the point of what they're doing up here is not so we can be like, wow, they have amazing voices and they play the guitar and the drums so well. The point of what they're doing up here is leading us into worship. That's what it's all about. You're leading us. So, you know, let's follow. Let's go. Let's go into worship. Let's go in that mode. Let's hold nothing back. Let's unleash our worship. And if we're going to be louder than them, that's okay. If we're going to, you know, shout out with praise, that's okay. That's what we're called to do. Don't hold anything back. See what happens. See what happens. It's one of those dangerous prayers, I believe. If you say, God, I'm going to worship you, I'm really going to go for it. I'm not going to hold anything back. You'll be amazed what will happen because I've seen it in my own life. Listen, you know, we've all gone through troubles and tribulations in our life, right? Stuff has gone on. Things have happened. And, you know, no one's, you know, exempt. I know sometimes we see our pastors and we think their life's been perfect. Everything's gone awesome and perfect for them. But, you know, believe it or not, it's not true. It's only mostly perfect, right? But, you know, we all have these things that go on in our lives. And one of the things I think that's so great about worship is when we're worshiping and we're in right standing with God, people see so much what's different about us and what's different in our hope. And it comes out. Listen, church, it's a huge, long story. I'm not going to tell the whole thing, but we had this rental property in Drumheller. We still have it. And due to a series of circumstances, it was destroyed. It was destroyed. There was these people we rented to. We thought they were really good. Things were going great. And then he had a relapse. And anyways, the police came to our rental property, and they destroyed it. They went through, and they were looking for this stuff. And they destroyed our home. Like, literally, they smashed through walls, they smashed through ceilings, they smashed the roof so the whole house leaked, it was filled with water. It was this disaster. And, you know, we had all these issues with insurance, and they didn't cover all of it, and we had to pay for this stuff. And at the time, we were saving up to buy a house, and it was like, poof, like, let's just make all that money disappear. It was like a magic trick. At that time, you know, all this stuff was going on, and I remember at that time, that song we played today, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord," it was out. And I just remember for myself and for Jess, like, you know, like, as we walked through this time, there's all this stuff going on, people would come and be like, what's, like, aren't you stressed? Aren't you concerned? Aren't you, like, worried about all this stuff going on in our house? You know, it was, they had smashed all the windows, and they had put up police tape around the whole house, and it was freezing outside. It was like minus 40 in Drumheller. And they wouldn't let us cross the police tape to put boards on the windows so the pipes wouldn't freeze. And this person came to me and said, aren't you worried that your house is going to freeze and the pipes are going to burst? And I said, no, God's got me. God's more powerful than boards. And I know that makes me sound holy, but I'm really not. But it was just, you know, as I worshiped God, as I praised him, you know, the whole way driving from here to Drumheller, I was singing out that song, "The battle belongs to the Lord." You know, like, it's his. It's his fight. You know, I'll just be here and pray, and God will take care of it. I had so much peace because of what he did. Isn't that great, church? You know, that's what we can all have. And again, I'm not special, and I fail every day, and I stumble all the time, and I'm not super holy, and there's so many areas in my life I need to work on. But yet God, through worship, brought me through. And I know, and that's why I can sit up here and say that I know, and I can declare that it will work for you too. Amen? So as we close this morning, my last Bible verse, don't worry, I'm landing the plane, I'm getting there. I'm approaching the landing zone. Is Luke chapter 19. It's this beautiful story. Jesus is coming in to Jerusalem. He's about to be crucified, but this is before that. He's coming in into the town. And the Bible says, when he came near the place where the road goes down, the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. So the disciples, they all began to cry out. They began to worship. They're joyfully declaring, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, and peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Now some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Basically tell them, hey, like, you know, tell those guys to be quiet. Tell them to shut their mouths. What they're saying isn't right. Tell them to not worship so loud. And he said to them, "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." That's the Jesus we serve. If we're not worshiping him, it's okay. The stones will cry out. But you know what I say? Jesus didn't die on that cross to redeem stones. He died on that cross to redeem us. So let's do all the crying out. Come on. Let's do all the worshiping. Yeah, nature will do it, but let's do our job and worship him for all he is worth. Come on, church. I'm telling you, do not let this week pass by without having a worship moment. Don't let a day pass by without worshiping God. Put a song on or just sing out whatever you want. Make up your own words. Come on. Worship God behind closed doors. Worship God when you're out in the open. Worship God when you're with your family. Worship God when you're at the dinner table. Worship God and see what happens. If you unleash your worship, you unleash your potential. So let's do it together, church. And next Sunday when we come back, let's be prepared. Whoever is leading worship, be prepared, because we're going to be loud and we're going to declare that our God is good. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Come on, church. He is so, so good. If you don't know this Jesus, if you walk through those doors today, I don't know what your past was. I don't know what's happened before, but I'm here to tell you today, this is the man to know. He lived a perfect life, and then he died on that cross for you and for me. Your sins are forgiven. Listen, church, there's nothing we can do to make Jesus love us more. He already died for us. He died for you and for me, church. If you're out there and you don't know this Jesus, come on, today's your day. What are you waiting for? He is so good. He is so gracious. He pours out gifts upon us. He sustains us through dry times and deserts and droughts. He will be there for you. He'll be with you on the mountaintop. You know, I'm not saying if you give your life to Jesus this morning, your life's going to be perfect and everything's going to be awesome. But I am able to declare to you this morning that it'll be the greatest decision you ever make in your life. Jesus is so good. If you don't know Jesus today, I'm going to pray, and in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer after me. This doesn't have to be scary. You know, this doesn't have to be, this is beautiful. And if you want to accept Jesus into your heart, all you have to do is pray this prayer after me. And then afterwards, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Every eye will be closed. Every head will be bowed. No one will be looking at it. It's okay. Raise your hand. It's between you and between God. That moment, if Jesus is calling you, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. It's an outward sign of an inward change. And from there, if you say that prayer with me, either here or online, if you're here, you can go back to the welcome lounge and you can receive your next step. If you're online, you can click a hand. It will be the greatest decision you ever make. Don't leave this place not encountering Jesus this morning. And for the rest of us, I'm going to pray too. And my prayer is simply going to be this, that we worship God fully. Unleash our worship this week. Unleash our worship this summer. Unleash worship in our lives and see what God will do, because He will continue to do great, great things. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you are the Lamb that was slain that Revelation talks about. We know that you are so worthy of all the worship you receive for all eternity, and yet still so much more. You are so, so good to us. Jesus, I thank you that you include us in worship. You give us the opportunity to worship you and to use it as a weapon and as a tool and to unleash our potential. Jesus, you know every name written in the book of life. You know all of us here, each hair on our head, each sin that we committed, past, present, and future, and you died for us still. Jesus, speak to those who don't know you. Speak to anyone here who hasn't accepted you as their Lord and Savior, and whisper to them, show them it's today is their day, now is their time. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here today, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, just repeat this very simple prayer after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. I ask you into my heart from this day forward, all the days of my life. If you said that prayer for the first time with every eye closed and head bowed, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand. Click that link online. Just raise your hand as an outward sign of inward change right now. One, two, three. Raise that hand. Click that link. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I thank you that you know us. And I ask, God, that you fill each one of us with a spirit of worship. That our worship would be authentic and real. That it would be right from the heart. I pray that, each one of us leaves this place ready to worship you and unleash our worship upon the places where we do life. We pray this all in the precious name of your Son. Amen.